Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Like Samuel said, my name is Pastor Chris, one of the pastors here. Grateful to be here with you all. It means the world to us that you're here. If this is your first time, if you're just passing through, if you've never filled out a Connect card, we'd love to give you a gift, a subscription of Right Now Media, to bless you, to just say thank you for being here. And if you're online, you're tuning in online, if you've never got that, you can text or just type in the word guest in the comments, and we'd love to reach out and give you that subscription to Right Now Media. A lot of resources for your journey and for your walk, and it just means the world that you're here. And also, you can use those Connect cards. You can fill that out. You can use that as a first-time guest card or also a way to be praying for you. And it is our joy to pray for each and every one of you specifically, also collectively. And so if there's a specific way, please let us know. And we would love to be praying for you as a staff and also as a church body. Our family and I are super grateful for all the prayers and support and the love that you have shown us in this next season of life that we find ourselves in. We've had the blessing of opening up our home to a little baby girl for a set time. Only the Lord knows. And so we're grateful for that. We are grateful that you get to experience a little bit that we experience with losing an hour of sleep. So you're welcome. We are grateful. She is a blessing, and you all are a blessing. The way that you have prayed, supported, brought meals, things like that. We're just super grateful and overwhelmed with just the love of this church and also just the community. And so from the bottom of our heart, thank you for all that you have done and all that you're doing to be the hands and feet and to love one another and to love one another well. We are continuing to walk through a series called Consider the Source. And we've been looking at the seven I Ams that Jesus has taught us and is teaching us through that are noted in the Gospel of John. The first one we saw is Jesus telling us and proclaiming, giving us this truth where he says, I am the bread of life. Last week we looked at, I am the light of the world. And today we're going to look at the claim where Jesus says, I am the door. But for us to understand, and really, I want to make sure that we put this into context. And I believe as we can reflect back on last week and we look to this week, that it'll help give us a richer meaning of what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the door. So last week he says, I am the bread of life. And if you remember, if you were there, if not, that's okay. I'm going to help catch us up to speed. But there is a man born blind, and Jesus opens his eyes. He heals him. And then we see that this is causing some issues. One, it's on the Sabbath, right? Another reason is that these Pharisees, right, are very upset. They don't like Jesus anyways. And now all of a sudden, he's opening the eyes of the blind. And so these teachings, these miracles, are starting to confront their teachings and their way of life and religion. And this causes some turmoil, some friction. And so now his parents get interrogated, right? The Pharisees now bring the parents in, and they're trying to find reason. They're trying to find any evidence that goes against Jesus, right, that proves him wrong and exalts them and is helping their case and their religion and saving their face, right? And so this man, the family is now interrogated, and they're brought before these religious leaders, and they, what I believe, like, take the easy way out. They don't stand up for their son, right? They don't support him in this, and they're like, hey, we're going to wash our hands from it, right? We're not going to take owner. You ask him. He's of age. You ask him. And I have to imagine in those moments, when he has had this eye-opening, literally eye-open experience, this face-to-face encounter with Jesus, right? This mountaintop experience. Now he's feeling a little bit of the valleys, a little bit of the struggles of life that we walk through. He's feeling a little bit of rejection from his own family. And then these religious leaders, they continue to interrogate this man. And then what we see is that they cast him out. They cast him out of the synagogue, out of the temple, out of their presence. And there's something beautiful that happens. Jesus goes and finds him. And he loves him. And he loves him well. Right? And then he teaches him this truth. And this truth was for this man to find comfort, to find security, to find right meaning and purpose and satisfaction in life. But it also was to confront these religious leaders that thought they knew it all, that thought that they had their act together. And so we're going to see Jesus make this claim that says, where he says, "I am the door." Now, before we open the text, it's important for us, I think it's important for us to understand, like, doors matter, right? We walk through doors all the time. There's no telling how many doors you had to walk through and that you walk through unintentionally or just in rhythm and pattern of life before you got here, right? We walk through our bedroom door, the bathroom door, the closet door. We walk through different doors in life, and our favorite door of all doors is probably the refrigerator door, right? There's no telling. Like, that's my family's favorite, especially our kids. They love it so much, they'll open it and just stand there thinking that something's going to happen, right? Or maybe it's the pantry door, right? There are so many different doors. But we know that doors matter. Doors matter. Why? Because it gives us access, maybe to our favorite food, right? Maybe to different teaching, maybe fill in the blank, but it gives us access. Doors also give us direction, right? If we exit a certain door, right, we're going to be at a certain part in a certain direction, right? If we want to go play in the playground, we're going to exit this door, right? If we want to go get our kids from children's wing, we're going to exit a different door. So it gives us direction and points direction, and that matters, right? I remember a couple years ago, Cody and I got to take a couple of our boys. We had some free tickets to Atlanta United professional soccer game. And I was like, man, that's so cool. So we were fortunate enough. We go down there, we park, we go into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right? And I'm directionally challenged. So I'm like, okay, here's our door. I know this is our door. Like, for me to get back to my car, I have to leave this door. The security guards didn't understand that at the end of the game. They said, as we entered the door, we had to go around to the other side of the stadium. And so when I'm tracking back my steps, because I have to do that, otherwise I can't figure it out, the security guard so kindly said, all right, you have to exit here. And he didn't understand I needed to exit that door. So for what seemed like 3 hours, I was trying to look for my car. I could see it. Like, I got out, and then I finally could see it because I marked it on my phone. But my road didn't access. Like, there was no way. I don't know how it happened, but we eventually, by the grace of God, found the vehicle, and now we're home. So a couple years ago, but it matters, right? It matters what doors we enter, what doors we exit. They matter. It gives us access, gives us direction, right? And we're going to see here that Jesus claims to be the door. And as we see the scripture, as we read the scripture, I want to give you where we're going, right? I want to give you this point that Jesus alone, everybody say alone. Alone. Jesus alone saves, secures, and satisfies all who enter through him. Doors matter, right? It matters. And it is the door that really matters. We're going to pick up and we're going to read together out of John chapter 10. So if you find your place in God's word, please stand for the reading of the word of God. A reading from the word of God, John chapter 10. It says, so Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Altogether, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for this day. God, we desire to hear from you. We desire, God, to meet with you. And I pray, God, that I decrease, you increase. We hear from you. We respond to you. We walk in obedience to you. Because you are alone. You alone are worthy. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the first six verses, Jesus is speaking allegorically. He's giving them this image of what we just read, that Jesus is the door, right? And there's only one entry point, right? And this door is for the sheep to access. And there they find salvation. There they find provision for life. And so I grabbed a couple pictures off of the internet of what it looked like, what a sheep pen or an area in Jesus' time where the sheep would be gathered. These are communal areas where the sheep, multiple shepherds could bring their sheep into this area. And at nighttime, they would be protected. They would know where their sheep are. The shepherds could get their rest. And then the next picture is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I am the door. I'm the one who stands in the middle of the gap. I'm the one you must enter by and enter into this area for protection. And he claims, right, for salvation. So the point number one that I want us to see, thinking kind of about this image and the teaching that Jesus has for the people then, but also truth for us to hold on to today, right? The door means access. The door means access. And the access that we receive, Jesus said, right, that by sheep that come, right, that they would receive salvation. Anyone who enters through me, verse 9 says, will be saved, right? That he will be saved and he will go in and out and find pasture. This access to life, to salvation, but also the provisions of life, that they'll go in and out, they'll find pastures, right? That they will find the bread of life as he has claimed to be. These daily needs that we have is accessed through the door. And Jesus is saying, truly, truly, right? He's repeated to say, listen. And remember, it's this man who has felt rejected, who has been denied access from the religious gathering, from these Pharisees. They've kicked him out. His own family is not supporting him. He's got to feel the weight of that. And Jesus is saying, listen, I am the door. Doesn't matter what they say. Remember, I am the door. And I know in a place like this, I know that we've walked through different seasons of life as individuals, that we would have church hurt, that we could resonate with this man who has felt maybe hurt by the church or disowned or has went through some difficult moments. And we see the heart of our God, right, to redeem that brokenness, to be reminded, and for us to continue to walk in this crazy world with these crazy people, right? That we need to be reminded of God's truth. Reminded that what access has been granted to us, what Jesus offers us, right? That his mercy, his grace, his love, and it says it's life and life abundant. It's important to understand that those things are not separated, right? It's not two different things, that he's going to give us life, and then maybe down the road we do the right thing, we're religious enough, we'll get life abundantly. But he offers us life, and it's abundant life. And that is good news. That is truth, right, for us to really take hold of, to understand. But it also, right, it confronts those religious leaders. It confronts the truth, right, or their truth of what they were trying to teach, which is not truth, right? Because it would be contradicting of what Jesus is saying, that they are, right, and we access, the door means access, and how we access it is we access it by faith. We access this faith alone in Christ alone. It's not something that is achieved, but it's something that is received. and it's received through Christ. The second thing that I want us to see, as Jesus claims to be the door, right, is that the door also means security. That Jesus, right, as he would stand in the gap, as he would as a door holder would stand in the gap of that sheep pen, right, that Jesus stands in the gap. He stands where we are most vulnerable, right? He stands to protect. So not only, right, do we get access into the sheepfold, into the family, not only do we get access to God, to his family, to be known by Jesus, but we're also protected by Jesus. We're also secure in Christ, that he saves us, right? He rescues, he delivers us, and he secures us. That we are no longer trying to figure out life on our own. But what does he offer as we look to those verses ahead? In verse 3, it says, to him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And that's exactly what Jesus does, that we now receive, right, this new heart. There's this beautiful exchange. We place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we receive a new heart, right? And we receive a new life, a new identity, and it's in Christ. And there, we are adopted into his family as children, and he knows us specifically by name. And so we hear his voice, and there he provides us with guidance, with protection, but also with understanding and belonging and meaning and purpose. And there, God is our direction, right? He is the one who is leading us. And so not only does it mean security, and so this truth, before we go on, security is not found in performance, but in belonging to Jesus Christ. So it's not in performance, but this understanding that it is belonging in Jesus Christ. Point number 3 that I want us to see is that the door means exclusivity. It is exclusive. There's not many doors, there's not other doors, but there is one door to life. There is one door to salvation, and his name is Jesus Christ. And when we see that, right, this that Jesus would say, I am the door, right? There's only one legitimate way for us to enter a home. If you were to go to your house after this service and you see somebody crawling into your window, you're going to be a little alarmed, right? Or if your neighbor, right, you lock yourself out of the house. I've never done that. You may have. I have, right? And you have to enter a different way. Like you have to enter in through the window. And if your neighbor, all they see is you climbing into the window, you probably will have a lovely visit from the local law enforcement. Say, hey, is everything okay here? Right? Because that's not normal, right? But there's one, and there's only one way. There's only one legitimate way. And it's through Jesus. Only one legitimate way that we find salvation, that we find life. And it's through Jesus Christ. And he is letting this man, right, this blind man know, but also he's teaching his disciples, and he's also confronting the false teaching of these religious leaders, these Pharisees. And we see that, right? We see that as we go back and we read the first set of verses. In John chapter 10, verse 1, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs in another way, says he is a thief and a robber. And so there's an importance for us to understand there's only one way, but it's also important for us to understand that others have entered a different way. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But we see that there's only one legitimate way. There's only one way that we can receive salvation. There's only one way for grace and forgiveness in life, right? There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. And so loving people does not mean redefining the entrance. It means clearly and compassionately pointing to it. The most loving thing we can do is point others to Jesus, exclusively Jesus, We don't add anything to him. We don't take anything from him, but wholeheartedly, with grace and truth, to point others to Jesus. To point others to Jesus. That's the most loving thing you and I can do. Point number four is that the door means daily dependence. If we look back at those at verse 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The importance of understanding that this is a daily walk with Christ. Right? What would happen if the sheep just stayed in the pen? Right? They would end up starving to death, right? They're not going to experience life. They're not going to see those mountaintop moments and the valleys and the things in between. They're not going to see God's faithfulness, right? As they're walking and they're being led to the different pastures and different areas, right? And for us, it's the same thing. It's a daily dependence for us to daily walk with Jesus, continuing to access, right, Jesus, to continue to walk with him through his word, through prayer, through worship, through moments of lamentations, through moments of rejoicing, all of that, that we continue to walk through Jesus and with Jesus daily. It's a daily walk with Jesus. We see a contrast, right? We see a contrast that as we walk with Christ, as we walk with God, we see that he promises life. And it's not just life, but it is abundant life. What we need to understand is that abundant life doesn't mean prosperity, right? It's not a prosperity gospel, but it's abundance of the presence of God. It's abundance of his grace and his love and his mercy and his joy, his forgiveness, his very presence. That's what abundant life is about, being with Jesus. If Jesus isn't there, there's no abundant life. And not only no abundant life, there's no life. It's all about Jesus. Doors matter because access matters. And when we have access to Jesus, when we surrender, see, access, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about military access. I was thinking about like people, like, right? For a military, they want access. Why? Because that's like the vulnerable position. Where the vulnerable position, they can come in, they can get people in there, they can get people in there, they can get control of the situation and take over. And it's our heart, it's my prayer as a father, that's what I want Jesus to do to my children. I want to lead them to Christ in such a way, right, that they can be vulnerable, that they will give him access, that they will trust, and Jesus will take over. Jesus will gain control of their heart, their mind, their life, their dreams, their passions, that he will use them, that he will take control and take over their lives. Because if it's up to me, I fail them every time. I fail them every time. If it's left up to me. But our God will never fail. He has not failed yet, and he will not fail. Access matters. Access matters. And so there's three warnings that I want us to see from this scripture. The first warning that I want us to see is that not everyone in the fold has entered through the door. Verse 1 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of sheep, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a robber. So it tells me that there are people, and there can be people inside of the church. It could be inside of the worship building that are not of the fold. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be guarded in that. We have to be diligent to know the word of God, to know his voice, to walk with him. Because that's how you spot a counterfeit, by knowing the truth. And when you hear somebody, it sounds good, it tickles our ears, and then you're like, whoa, whoa, wait. Where'd you get that, right? Wait. Where does that line up here? Show me, please. I want to know. And if it doesn't line up here, it doesn't line up. And so we have to be careful. We can't assume, right? We can't assume that our neighbor is saved. We can't assume, right, that what someone's teaching us is truth for our good, for our life. Because how does Jesus compare them? He compares them as a thief and a robber, right? He compares them as a thief, someone who is kind of sly and cunning, deceitful. It's gonna sound really good. It's going to maybe It's going to appeal to our flesh. It's going to kind of tickle our ears. It's gonna sound really good. And then it's the steal, right? He's got selfish motives, or they've got selfish motives, and they're coming in like a thief with deceit, with lies, cunning and sly. And then you also have this picture of a robber, right? Someone who's just ready to just bulldoze, right? To just rob, to just mug, and this aggressive language. This aggressive language that we have to be aware of. And so when we give the wrong access to the wrong people or to the wrong things, that's the outcome. They steal, they kill, and they destroy. They promise life, but yet they rob our life. They promise joy or peace, but yet they cause chaos and enslavement, entanglement. And so your access matters. Not everyone in the fold has entered through the door. Warning number two, be careful what doors you open your life to or that you allow your family to open. Access matters, and we have to be careful. We have to be careful what we are allowing into our life, into our own mind, heart, into our own, like everything is discipling. The things we watch, what we listen to, the conversations we have or allowed to be had, it matters. Husbands, it matters what access you allow your wife to have. It matters what you're allowing your children to access. It matters. Be careful. Be intentional. Be on guard. The access that you have or that you allow others to have, it matters. Warning number three is don't treat the door as the finish line. Don't treat the door as the finish line. Sometimes we believe we've entered, we've arrived, we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We've been baptized, we got a new Bible, right? And then we're good. We don't need to enter that door anymore, right? We don't need to continue to go through Christ for this or for that, for our daily walk. We say, hey, we're saved, we're good. Don't, it's not the finish line. Salvation is free, right? Access is costly. That's why we do this every week. We'd never want to get over this. It is costly to have access through the blood of Christ. It is costly to him. It was free to us. It's by grace. It is a gift that we receive. But we don't want to ever get over that. But walking with Christ, intimacy with Christ, is costly to us. It is an intentional, daily dying to self, emptying of self, and to be filled, to be nurtured with his word and his truth, his word that is living and active. We can't see Jesus as the finish line, like we've arrived. Now, he also is the finish line. He is the beginning and the end, right? The Alpha and the Omega. But this is a daily walk, that we walk with him day by day, right? It's not to earn salvation, but it's because of salvation that we forever follow, forever hear his voice, forever walk in obedience to Christ. And the last warning, which is also a question that we must consider and that we need to understand, that one day the door will close. Today the door is open. Today is a day of salvation. we're not promised that that door will be open tomorrow. And in fact, we know that one day that door will close. And just like Genesis 7, when Noah and his family entered the ark, God closed that door. And it was salvation for his family, but it was judgment for those outside. So my question is, have you entered through Jesus Christ? He is the door. And he is the only way of salvation. There's no other name, the scripture says. No other name that you can have salvation, only through Jesus Christ. It's my prayer, it's my hope that you will know that. That you will walk through that door. Not in response to anything I have said, but only to what God is doing in your life. Only what God. Respond to the Lord, not to man. Just like the blind man, right? Not to those Pharisees, to what you think religious leaders want you to say, right? But we respond to Jesus. We respond to him and to him alone. That is the only door that matters in your life. If you miss that door, you miss everything. But the good news is, it's open. Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Yes. If you haven't, please respond to the Lord. And if you have, what are you doing with the access that you have to God? What are you doing with that access to hear the voice of God in your life? And it's your job, and it's my job. It's our responsibility. It's our calling. It's our command in life to point others to Jesus, to the door of life, to the door of salvation, to point others. And so we're going to commission our Honduras mission team in just a little bit. But each week, right, we commission each and every one of us, everyone, that we are sent, that we are called to proclaim Jesus wherever we are, wherever we're going. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask you to start to get the communion elements ready as we go into a time of reflection and response. Our number one response is always, right, worship to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. But however else God is calling you to respond, I just want to urge you to respond to the Lord. But I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to go into a time of communion. Lord, we love you. God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for the access that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his body that was broken and was beaten on our behalf. Thank you for the love. There is no greater love, Lord, than what you've displayed on Calvary's cross. And through his death and resurrection, God, that we could have life and have it abundantly. Help us to continue to be reminded of this truth. God, to walk in obedience to you. Thank you for access. Access to yourself, God. That you sent your only son. That you gave us your best. Lord, that we could be in relationship with you. So God, I pray that you be glorified, Lord, that you would be magnified, Lord, and help us to continue to walk in obedience and in worship to you. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So as you prepare the elements, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat. As you prepare the juice, it says, in the same way, Jesus, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me. Let us drink. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to go into a time of response through worship. If you have never entered, and that's something that the Lord is leading you to, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, if you've never made that personal decision, I'd love to talk to you. Or maybe you've taken this access for granted and you want to take some time in repentance, whether there or up here, whatever God's doing in your life, respond to him. You may want to bring some names that you have of people on your heart that need to enter that door. Especially as we look towards this Easter season, I want you to be diligently praying for your one or your five, whoever it is. Pray. Pray that God would open up doors for the gospel and pray that they would respond to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. However God is leading you, please respond. Would you please stand?